message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last week we learned that God's stewards, that's you and me, we learned that we live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. In other words, since we have received forgiveness of sin through faith in Christ, we're now new people. And that means we get to live as God's stewards, saying no to the evil things that God's Word condemns, and yes to the good and gracious will that His Word lays out for us. However, if you're like me, that's easier said than done. Even though God has given me a new heart so that I want to be in the world but not of the world, even though Christ's mercy and love gives me the desire to turn from sin and to live in obedience to God's will, the reality is that I continue to struggle with sinful desires, sinful thoughts, sinful words, and sinful deeds. And I think you can relate to what I'm saying. In fact, the Apostle Paul expresses the same frustration in our first reading from Romans chapter 7, where he writes, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate to do. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Today's sermon title is, God's stewards are saints and sinners. We're going to learn from God's Word what it means for us to live as God's stewards in this world, and how the good news of Jesus gives us comfort and strength when we experience difficulty in living as God's stewards. With that said, allow me to use myself as an example again. I'm a baptized child of God. I have the forgiveness of sins, and I have eternal life in God's love because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and all that He's done for me. And because I have received this salvation, I now get to live as God's steward in this world. But the fact is, I often fall short of that goal. You see, I know very well the desires of my heart. I know very well the wicked thoughts that go through my head. I'm well aware that my words and deeds are far short of the holy life God expects of me. And you know what? The same is true for you. When we recognize this truth about ourselves, we might begin to think like this. We might begin to think, you know, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe Jesus hasn't saved me. Maybe I'm going to hell. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure you have. You know how it goes. One day you promise God that you're going to stop doing a certain sin, or maybe you're going to start doing something good that you ought to be doing. But then before you know it, you have done the evil thing you wanted to stop doing, or you have failed to do the good thing you know you should have done. Let me just throw off a few examples. Maybe you're an older boy or a man who knows it's wrong to lust, and you've tried to eliminate that evil from your mind. But no matter how hard you try, lust still lingers in your heart and mind. Or maybe you've decided that as a family you're going to put God first in your finances and start to give a percentage of your money to church and charity. But then after several months of trying, you hang your head in shame because you realize there were a few times where you gave very little or nothing at all and instead used God's money for selfish, trivial things. Maybe you tried to stop gossiping about other people. I mean, you know that God hates that sin, but no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to go more than a few days without saying something negative about somebody. Maybe you made a decision to attend church and Bible class as often as possible because you know you need it. But then you hang your head in shame when you remember the times you avoided church and Bible class for trivial, silly reasons. Maybe you know that you ought to stand up for the truth around the guys and gals at work. But many times when you had a chance to witness, you chose to remain silent because you simply didn't want to deal with the confrontation. Or maybe you're a child here today who knows that God's will for you is to honor your parents and obey them and respect them. But just about every day, you challenge your parents' authority at least once. Maybe you're a person who knows it's wrong to use God's name in vain. But no matter how hard you try, there are those moments when you slip up and you use God's name along with other inappropriate language. Maybe you're a husband and a wife here today. Maybe you know that God wants you to love and serve and forgive your spouse. But sometimes you choose to nag, you choose to be selfish, you choose to go to bed angry, you choose to hold a grudge. The fact is, I could talk all day and give you examples of how we do things we hate and how we fail to do the good things we ought to do. So then maybe we're not Christians. Maybe we are going to hell. That's what the devil would like us to think. You see, if the devil can't trick you into being an arrogant sinner who takes advantage of God's grace, if he can't get you to be that way, then he will instead trick you into being a despairing sinner who doubts that God's grace could ever be for you. But I'm here today to tell you that the devil is a liar. And I'm also here today to tell you the gospel truth, and here it is. God's stewards are both saints and sinners. But what does that mean? Well, first we need to realize that by nature we are sinners and enemies of God. Listen to what King David writes about this in Psalm 51. He says about himself, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." You see, if you study the scriptures, you find out that we sinners either resist God's will, or when we obey him, we do it with evil motives. That's why Paul said, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature." But I have good news for you. We have been saved. Jesus has redeemed us. He has brought us to repentance and faith in him. Therefore, as Christians, we are not merely sinners. We are also saints. We are saints because Christ's blood has washed away the guilt of our sin. He has clothed us with his own holiness. Before God, we are saints. We were born again in holy baptism, and we were joined to the death and resurrection of Jesus. God has given us new hearts that trust God, that love him, and that long to obey him. However, even though we are saints, we still have a sinful nature. That's why we Christians constantly struggle with sin. That's why Paul wrote these words in our first reading. He said, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." My friends, that's why the Christian life must be a life of daily repentance and daily faith in Jesus. You see, being a Christian doesn't mean that you're perfect and that you never ever sin. In that case, there would be no Christians. Instead, being a Christian means that you grieve over the sin in your life, and you trust in Jesus for forgiveness and for the strength to turn away from sin and live according to God's will. In fact, we saw this example from the tax collector in our gospel reading. Remember the tax collector in our gospel reading? First of all, notice he was a repentant sinner. He wasn't blowing off his sin and winking at his sin and saying it was no big deal. No, he was crushed by it. He knew he had sinned against God. He knew he had sinned against others. He knew he deserved hell. He was broken over it. But not only was he repentant, he also knew that God was willing and able to forgive sinners like him. That's why he was at the temple. The temple where the animal blood sacrifices were offered. The sacrifices that pointed ahead to the coming Messiah who would lay down his own life for sinners like him that he might be forgiven and holy in God's sight and set free to live a new life. Remember what Jesus said about that tax collector? Jesus said that he went home from the temple justified. In other words, God had declared him not guilty. God forgave all his sins because of the sacrifice of Jesus, which was symbolized by the sacrifices that had been offered in that Jerusalem temple. My friends, you are in God's temple today. You confessed your sins in this place, and you heard me say to you in Christ's name, your sins are forgiven. Today in this temple, you get to eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ, which he gave and shed for you. God's sign to you that you are indeed forgiven, and that you are holy in God's sight because of Jesus' death and resurrection for you. God has washed away the guilt of your sinful nature, and he has clothed you with his own holiness. Therefore, when God looks at you, he doesn't see all the wicked desires and deeds of your sinful nature. No, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And through Jesus, you go home today justified. In fact, Christ goes home with you. He lives in you. And he will help you to live as his child. You see, that's why you feel badly about the sin in your life. And that's why you trust in Jesus for forgiveness and the strength to do better. Jesus' love and mercy is what moves you to say no to the desires of your sinful nature and yes to God's loving plan for your life. In fact, saying no to sin and yes to God's will is what a life of stewardship is all about. For instance, we heard about this life of stewardship in our second reading from Ephesians. Let me just read that reading for you one more time. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what it means to live out our baptism every day. I'd encourage you to put that Bible passage to memory. In closing, please remember that God's stewards are saints and sinners. Jesus has given you the victory, your sins are forgiven, you are holy in God's sight, and his grace will move you to say no to sin and yes to his will. But don't forget that you still have a sinful nature this side of heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Therefore, you must always remember to keep your focus on Jesus and not on your performance. You need his mercy every day. You need his love every day. You need his word every day. You need his strength every day. And he is there for you every day. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Believe that promise and receive it in your life. Jesus has given you the victory, and He will help you to live as God's steward, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.